The following resource is presented as an outreach of Calvary Community Church, a Calvary Chapel in Phoenix, Arizona.
How neat to be in the book of Romans. How wonderful it is to be in chapter 8 now. Well, we're going to look at verse 1. But before we do, have you ever felt condemned? You know, if you're not exactly sure how that feels, can you remember when you looked in the rear view mirror and you saw the flashing lights and your entire driving record goes before you in just a split second? Insurance rates flying by your eyes. You look at your speedometer and oh my, or you look at the light that you just went through and it wasn't burnt orange, it was really red. You pull over and the officer comes up to you and she says, not hello, not how are you doing, not wonderful day we're having, but may I please see your driver's license, your registration, and, oh, rats, that crazy insurance card. Where is it now? I usually know where the driver's license is. I usually can find the registration, but are you like me, looking like crazy for, I can find last year's insurance thing, the year before, 1980. Can I show you that for 3 years in a row I had it? But I don't know, I think my wife has it in her purse, you know. Try as you like, you feel like you're caught, like some little kid caught, right? And you know down in your heart, you know, oh, I was going too fast, or I did run that light, and you know what? It's this condemned feeling. You can see yourself already spending a whole day Saturday sitting in a driver's class. To add insult to injury, you have to pay $100 to waste your Saturday in a driver's class, don't you? Oh, man. Well, at that point, she utters words that you do not expect to hear. She says, you know, this time I'm going to just give you a warning. But you know, a lot of people get killed in intersections, and it's really not a wise thing to run those red lights. Or she says, you know, do you know what the speed limit is here? Usually before that they ask you, do you know how fast you were going? Are you tempted to lie at that point? But with modern electronics, we can't. Of course we wouldn't. Well, I think maybe I was going somewhere in the neighborhood of 45, maybe. Do you know that this is a 25 mile an hour area? Oh, you know, now that you mention it, it probably is. I'm just going to give you a warning this time. The relief that pours. Have you ever had that relief? Have you just had? This happened to my wife a few weeks ago. It was a 25 mile an hour, straight shot, wide street, and she was in a hurry. She was upset. Life was going wrong. You know, she should be telling the story, but it's fun to tell on her. And she got tagged, man. I mean, just big time. The guy pulled her over, and she looked at him, and she just let loose. She started crying. I mean, just, oh, I mean, she just couldn't stop crying. Do you know what has happened? My mother has just broken her neck. I'm on my way to the hospital. I mean, it's just all this kind of stuff is happening. And the officer, man, I don't know, he didn't know what to do. She said, He started like shaking, you know. Well, now, ma'am, it's okay. It's going to be okay, ma'am. It's going to be, you're gonna, ma'am, don't drive, please. Let's just wait here a while until you can gain your composure. I'm dead. But were you relieved when you didn't get a ticket? I'll tell you, those tears work every time, don't they?
Just doesn't work for us guys.
At least last time I tried, it didn't work. So anyway, that relief as the condemnation lifts and you realize I'm not going to get it. I deserved it, but I'm not going to get what I deserve. That, in the spiritual realm, to a much greater magnitude has happened to us in Jesus Christ. As we read Romans 8, verse 1 together, all of us. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what the scripture says. There is no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. This scripture follows the section that talks about our struggle with the flesh. How sometimes we don't do the things we want to do. How other times we do the things we don't want to do. How we get so sick of this war. Remember the tug of war that we did? Remember we had some people up here volunteering on one side of the rope and others on the other side, and there was this tug of war going on inside. Remember that? Well, that's what goes on inside a believer. And sometimes we lose, don't we? And we hate it when we lose. But there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for you for your past sins, for your present sins, or for your future sins. The Bible teaches us that there is no condemnation. It's interesting to me that the word no in Greek, uden, means no possibility. You could write that in if you wanted to. There is therefore for now no possibility of condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's not even the slightest possibility of you being condemned in Christ. That's very significant because there are times when I think maybe there might be a chance of that, but there isn't. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, great commentator, in his commentary on Romans states, not only is the Christian not in a state of condemnation, now he can never be. It is impossible. You see, when the Lord saves us, he saves me with the whole printout. All my life is on the screen in front of him, if you want. If he's got the whole floppy on me. Everything is there. He doesn't save me day by day by day. When he saves me, he saves all of me. It's like this piece of paper is my life, okay? And when he saves me, it's not, he doesn't save me a piece at a time, okay? I'm saving your past. Now I'm going to save your present. And then the future now, if you're good, I'll save you. He saves me in the whole. He saves all of me. Because God is not working in a past, present, future kind of environment. God is outside of time. God always is. I am that I am is his name. He is ever present. Everything is now to him. And as he looks at your life, there isn't yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's now. It's all now. And so if he saves you, guess what? Nothing surprises him tomorrow. He's not shocked by anything today. You're not just saved from your past sins. You're saved from your present and from your future sins. You say, well, does that mean then I can go out and do whatever I want to do? What if I said yes? What if I said, because a new believer, a believer who loves Christ, who has a new life in Christ, will want to do the things that Christ wants him to do. You have new loves, new hates. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Look, the old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And that's the truth. Everything is new for you. I don't want to do things. Now, I may be tempted. My flesh may incline a certain way. But in my new being, in my new nature, in the real me, I don't want to do those things. I say no to a whole lot because I am in Christ. The issue is, are you in Christ or not in Christ? It's not an issue of how you're feeling. It's an issue of, are you in Christ? Jesus said, you must be born again. Truly, truly, I say unto you, you must be born again. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Have you been born again? Not just, did your parents baptize you when you were a baby? Not just, did you go through some rituals when you were younger? And not, don't give me this, I'm not as bad as the person sitting next to me. I know the person sitting next to you. They're not as bad as you think, really. The Bible says that we have to seriously and in a decisive way ask Christ to come into our lives. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him he sends his friend for life. And then the Lord will accept you, and when he accepts you, it's like this, past, present, and future. I folded a piece of paper into three sections. Let that represent your whole life, but there's a past, present, and future, okay? God accepts it all. He's got it all right here. That means that all your sins, if you're saved, you're saved, past, present, and future, right? Means you're forgiven, past, present, and future, right? You're justified. You're holy. You're in Christ. Now, if that does something in your mind, what I'm saying right now, and you think, oh, wow, then that means I can go out and do such and such and still be saved, let me just warn you, you probably aren't saved. What on earth makes you think you're saved if you're even thinking like that? We're not perfect. It doesn't mean that we're not hypocrites at times. It doesn't mean that we don't fail. But in our heart, if we could push the button that says, I will always do the things that please him, we would. If we could push a button that would say, I never sin again, we would. Because we know the price he paid for us. We know what it means. We know what the cross is all about. So it's really important right now for everybody here to think about, what have I done with Jesus Christ? Have I accepted him as my Savior? Have I ever with my mouth said, Lord, I want you to come into my life. Lord, I want you to please forgive me for the wrong things I've done. I believe I've done wrong things. And Lord, I want to turn from those things and turn to you. Would you be my Savior? I believe you died for me and rose from the dead. If you've never done that, you've got to do that to be saved. Now, that's just not me telling you what you've got to do. That's what Jesus says to do. And he'll save you no matter what you've done in the past or in the present. He'll save you, but you have to come to him on his terms. And that's only fair. If he's doing the saving, he can tell you what it takes to get saved, right? So you come to him on his terms. Too many believers are living under a sense of condemnation. Too many believers are living under a sense that they have done something wrong and God just can't forgive them. Some of the symptoms of being under the condemnation of the law are these. You always feel guilty. You know, whether or not you've done anything wrong or not, I feel guilty, condemned. Or you're motivated by guilt. The way that things happen in your life is somebody has to guilt trip you into it. Or you're always trying to please people. How about this? When you do good things, you feel like you're a good person. When you do something bad, then you think, oh, I'm a bad person. That's living under the condemnation of the law. Feeling like God is mad at you. Do you feel like God's mad at you? Now, if you haven't asked Christ into your life, you will not have peace with God. Let me tell you that much. There is no peace, saith the Lord, for the wicked. The wicked are like the storm, the wave, the storm of the sea, the waves of the sea, pardon me. The wicked are like the waves of the sea driven and tossed, the scripture says. There's no peace for the wicked. But those who know the Lord and are saved by the Lord have peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. The word justified means to be acquitted, have the charges dropped. God will drop all the charges against us if we come to his Son in faith and accept his work on the cross for us. Feel God is mad at you? Or maybe you feel that God's going to get even with you. Oh man, precious people. Many times precious people have come up to me and we've talked and this, here's one instance that's happened many times. I've talked to ladies who have had pregnancies and they have aborted their babies in the past. That's a tragedy. They didn't understand the holiness of human life. They didn't understand that when they did that, they murdered a life. But now they've come to Christ and they understand the holiness of human life. They understand that we never have that choice. That isn't our choice. God alone gives life or takes life. And they, you know, they've really repented of that. They would never do that again. And yet they're still under condemnation because, this is how you know, is because when they come and they start having a problem with their pregnancy, they'll come and they say, you know, I really think that maybe what God is doing is I'm going to lose this baby because God is just sort of getting back with me. Because, you know, I killed my baby and God's going to take this baby. And I mean, they're really serious and they're weeping and they're upset. And you know what? Think about it for a minute. You made a terrible mistake, granted, in killing your baby. And now God's going to get even with you by killing another baby? Does that make sense? Hello? That's not the God of the Bible. God's into life. God's into saving life. God loves your child. God loves you. God's very sad about the choices you've made in the past. But you have a baby in heaven already. And God's watching over you and this baby right now. And God is not paying you back. You know how you got paid back? Jesus got all the payback you deserve on the cross. That's what the cross is all about. There he suffered all the wrath of God. He suffered all what I deserve in terms of payback on the cross so that I don't receive that now. When I am in Christ Jesus, now God is working all things together for good. I've heard this same thing with people who have made mistakes in their previous marriages, and they come to the Lord and they realize, you know, I shouldn't have divorced. That was a sin for me to divorce under those circumstances. I wasn't free to remarry biblically under the circumstances that I remarried. And now what do I do? We're having problems in this marriage. Is it God just trying to get even with me? And God's going to destroy this marriage because we sinned getting into this marriage. Or we fornicated before we got married, so now God's never going to bless this marriage. Are you kidding? God's a God of grace. If you've made a mistake and you've confessed your sin, God has forgiven your sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Remember the woman who was caught in adultery in John chapter 8? Remember that incident? And they brought her and threw her down at Jesus' feet, and they said, Moses says that we should stone such a woman. What do you say? And Jesus stepped down and stooped down and began to write in the sand. And what he was doing was fulfilling a prophecy that said that all those who reject the fountain of water, the living water, their names will be written in the dust. He was writing about the religious leaders who had rejected him, and he was writing their names down in judgment. And they began to leave one after another, from the oldest to the youngest. And finally, Jesus was left alone with this woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And he said to her, "Woman, where are the ones who condemned you?" And she says, "They're all gone, Lord." And he said, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go and don't live your life of sin anymore. Don't live this life of sin anymore. I don't condemn you. Now go." Now, I don't know what your reason for not accepting Christ has ever been in the past. But I don't know how you argue with a God who's saying, "I don't condemn you, just don't go and sin. I'll forgive you. I'll forgive your life, past, present, and future. Go and sin no more." How do you argue with that? You don't. You follow him. You give him your life. See, God wants to deal with our sins in a very dramatic way. Some people have the concept that God annihilates our sin, you know, this way. I've got some paper that represents our sins, okay? And I've got a paper shredder right here. And so they've got the shredding concept. Okay, God's just in heaven, you know, he's got a file on me, you know, somewhere. And, you know, if I'm good enough someday, maybe God will shred my sins, you know. Well, you know, he's been pretty good lately. You know, maybe I'll forgive him his sins that way. But, you know, I don't like that, because if somebody really wanted to, what could they do? You could put these back together, couldn't you? I've always wondered about shredding documents, because I figured if somebody really wanted to, they could take the time and the energy and tape them back together, right? Then there are some people who feel this way about the sin. They think, well, you know, God's taken my sin, and, you know, he's going to burn my sins up, you know? And what I've got now is a lit piece of paper in my hand. What am I doing? And they think, well, God will just burn up my sins. And someday there'll just be a big fire, and God will burn them up. But I don't like that concept either, because, you know, there's still stuff remaining. There's still ashes. And maybe somebody somewhere could do some kind of a chemical test and discover what my sin was. But my Bible says in the book of Isaiah that God has blotted out my transgressions like a thick cloud and will remember them no more. My Bible says that the Lord has cast all my sin into the depths of the sea. He's placed them all behind his back. God has eradicated them through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, our verse today says, there is therefore now no possibility of condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you know why there's no possibility of condemnation? Because the condemnation means passing a verdict. Judgment, let me tell you the difference between judgment and condemnation. Judgment is saying you are guilty and must die. That's the judgment. The condemnation is taking you from death row to the electric chair and flipping the switch. The condemnation is the passing, the bringing about of the judgment sentence. Well, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have neither. We do not enter into judgment, and we don't enter into condemnation. John 5:24. Read it with me. John chapter 5, verse 24. Let's read it out loud. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and doesn't come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Is that your experience? If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you've confessed him with your mouth, believed in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, if you've accepted him as your Savior, then guess what? Guess what? You've passed out of death into life, and there's no judgment for you of any kind. Oh, there's a judgment of rewards at the end, but I mean, that's like God passing out the candy. okay? There's no judgment. And then Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no death sentence, and then there is no electric chair. Praise God, huh? Whoa. No wonder we're happy. How do you get out from under living under condemnation? You know, that sense of condemnation. I'm going to give you three steps. Three steps now. They're easy to remember. I know they're easy to remember because I can remember them. Step number one. What was that? Oh. Step number one. Remember the Word of God. Remember the Word of God. Very simple step, but man, very important. What have I just said? There's therefore now no possibility of you ever entering into condemnation. We have peace with God. There's no judgment, John 5:24, Romans 5:1, Romans 8:1, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're new creations. Old things have passed away. Everything's become new. I mean, it goes on and on. Isaiah's full of the promises of God's forgiveness and the blotting out of sin. I mean, it's just a wonderful experience that we have in Christ, and it's all promised in the Word. It's based not on how I feel, but it's based on what God says. I'm not saved by my feeling. And I'm not kept saved by my feelings. I mean, and a good illustration of that is Noah in the ark. Remember when Noah was in the ark and had all these animals there? I mean, I bet you got pretty nasty in there after a while. I mean, you got two of everything, right? And you're feeding them, and I don't know that it must have been really nasty in there after a while. And don't you think Noah and all those animals and his family, his wife Joan, don't you think they all... Joan of Arc, right? Don't you think that after a while they got really sick of in there? Who said there's no Dramamine invented yet, right? I mean, you're in this huge thing, and you know, this is judgment, man. I mean, this boat's on judgment water, but God had put him in the ark, and God shut the door, and there was no latch on the inside, the Bible says. God kept them safely inside. But it didn't mean that they didn't throw up. They probably fed the fishies once in a while, don't you think? Not to offend anybody, but I mean, come on. Be real. Put yourself in there. What would you be doing? And yet, did it mean that he wasn't safe? He was safe, a little sick, a little green around the gills, but he was safe and secure. Well, you might not feel so wonderful, but it doesn't affect your security. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't affect that. We're not saved by them. We're saved by what Christ has done. And then, second step, remember what the Word says. Step number two, don't confuse condemnation with conviction. Don't confuse condemnation with conviction. Some Christians do. The condemnation of the law brings death. The conviction of the Holy Spirit brings correction. The Holy Spirit never condemns you. He will never condemn you. Condemnation is upon the world. The unsaved world, it's judgment. We've been saved from condemnation because, through Christ. Now we're in Christ, we can never be condemned, Romans 8:1. Now the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life is not to whap me around, but to speak gently to me using the Word of God, the life of Jesus, and He speaks to me. And He brings me into line. He comes alongside me. Hey, Mark, that's not what Jesus would have said. That's not how Jesus would have driven this car. That's not how Jesus would have reacted. Let's think about this. Now, it's not a constant guilt trip thing either. But it's a gentleness that the Holy Spirit works with us. It's not, it isn't this sense of condemn. You're not a Christian anymore. You think you're a Christian and you act that way. I mean, we all hear that little tape playing, and you know that's not the Lord. That's the enemy. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren, Satan, Satan. It means to accuse. That's what his name means. And he's here to accuse us. And he loves to point out all my faults, all my defects, and all the things I do wrong. The Holy Spirit isn't doing that. The Holy Spirit, rather, is coming alongside, helping, blessing, enabling. The Holy Spirit brings correction. The Holy Spirit, when he comes and convicts of sin, it's simply to bring a correction of course. It's like driving. Nobody drives and holds the steering wheel stiffly and never moves it, do you? You have to continually make a course adjustment the whole time you drive, right? Aren't you turning your steering wheel slightly all the time you're driving? Huh? Of course you are. And that's the way the Christian life is. The Holy Spirit is showing us how to do it. Oh, turn here, turn here. That was the wrong turn. Okay, now we got to go the long way, okay? But I can help you here. I know the way, okay? Now listen to me the next time. You know, he's gentle. He can be firm at times. And then step number three, when you are convicted of sin by the Holy Spirit, repent. Marvelous example of this is the life of David. Yes, he sinned big time with Bathsheba, remember? And the whole world has to know about it, right? And then he wrote Psalm 51, a great psalm of repentance. And the Lord granted him repentance. Repentance isn't something I can just decide, I will repent, I will repent. I mean, somebody can be doing something wrong, and you say, okay, you've done something wrong. Now, this is what I expect you to do. You go to the blackboard now, and you are to write 1,000 times, I will repent, I will repent, I will repent. And you know what? It's not going to work, is it? Because you can't make somebody repent. To repent means to turn and go the different direction. I was heading this way, and now I'm going to go this way. I'm going to do an about face. And I can't make that happen. That's something God works out within my heart. Repentance is granted to us by the Holy Spirit. All we can say is, Lord, I am open to this. I give you freedom in my life to work whatever you want. Lord, I won't hang on to anything. The first step toward repentance is confession. Confession is seeing what God says about something and agreeing with it. If God says living together before you're married is sin, then you agree with that. You don't argue with it. You don't say, well, that doesn't apply to us. We can't afford to live in separate places. You don't say that, well, that we love each other and it's okay. You don't make excuses. You follow God's word. You confess, I'm doing something wrong. I'm watching something wrong. I'm looking at something wrong. You just agree with God. My gossiping has been wrong. You agree with God and about what he has to say, maybe about holding bitterness towards somebody, holding anger towards somebody, having an unforgiving spirit. And you say, Lord, look, I can't do this myself. But I confess you are right about this sin. It is sin. I agree. I'm not justifying it anymore. And Lord, I am open for you to turn me around now. In fact, I'll make the first step right now. I'll turn my back on it. And you know what? God will then empower you. He will empower you to change. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Jesus speaks to his churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And three times he tells them to repent. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. If you don't turn when God tells you to, I'm talking to you Christians, then God will discipline you. We think, oh, discipline. See, I knew there was something here. God doesn't abuse his kids, but he will discipline his children. And you know, discipline is not always what you think it is. Sometimes discipline is seeing the heart of God and how he breaks over sin, how his heart breaks over sin. Probably the most powerful time that I've ever had as a parent in discipline, and I hate discipline, by the way, but I do it because I love my children. But probably the most powerful times that I've ever had with my kids are when my heart has been broken over what they've done. And I remember one time in particular with one of my children, they were just absolutely hard-hearted about what they had done. And I started crying. I started telling my child what this would lead to and how I felt about it and how it hurt me. And then my child started weeping. God just broke my child's heart. And that hasn't been an issue ever since. There is true repentance granted in the discipline. The other day, just this week, one of the kids slapped one of the other kids in the face. I know your children would never have done that. Well, slapping in the face is a no-no at our house. You just don't touch the face. God never intended for that to be slapped around. And so I knew we had to do something. And Leslie and I, you know, we were talking, and I'm not so sure that it was really getting through. And so sort of as an idea and something that I think maybe God gave me, I said, okay, I spoke to the offender. I said, I want you to slap me as hard as you slapped your sibling. Whap! Oh, man. I just about saw stars. Whose idea was this? You know, and you don't want to show too much surprise. And I said, that must have really hurt them. But my children love me. And just the very thought of slapping me just broke my child's heart. And that was really all the discipline that was necessary. I mean, there was a little bit more, but I mean, it was like... I mean, I asked for it. I got what I asked for. I said, you don't ever do that unless it's some boy sometime trying to get you to do something that he shouldn't. Then you can use that one on him. But, you know, the heart of God breaks for us. And Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, or I'll rebuke and discipline. Maybe God is speaking to you right now that you need to turn from your sin. The first step in that area is being honest with him and saying, yeah, you know what? I'm wrong. And I know that as I've been speaking, God has been bringing things up. I absolutely know that. I could tell you some of the things the Lord's bringing up, but I won't to embarrass you. And I'm not just saying that, but I know God is moving. And God moves like this, never to embarrass, never to hurt, but because God wants to clean your life, because before he fills a life with joy and with the power of his Holy Spirit, he first cleans it out. He always cleanses before he fills. The Lord's moving right now, and you can respond. I'd invite you right now to bow your heads with me, to close your eyes with me, and let's ask God to grant us repentance. We know that he'll give us forgiveness. We know that if we're believers, there's no condemnation. But now we want to walk as he would have us walk. We want to put sin away. Lord, we want to be your children in every way that we walk. We want to reflect your love and your grace. We want you, Lord, to be glorified in our lives. Grant repentance. Today, grant salvation to some who have come here and they've heard the message of grace and they need to give you their life. Lord, may they respond and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Give me a new beginning. I accept you as my Savior and Lord. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to respond. There are two groups of us. There are only two kinds of people in the whole world. Not the rich and the poor. Not the intellectuals and the non-intellectuals. But those who have been saved and those who are not. Those who know they're going to heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done, and those who don't know what's going to happen if they die. And so we all fall into one of those two categories this morning. And if you would like to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, I will pray for you. And we will ask him to be your Savior. Because you know, you can't repent of your sins and receive salvation unless you call on Jesus' name. Again, you have to ask him. You have to do it yourself. So right now, everybody's got their eyes closed. They're praying for you. God's working on their hearts too. But you know for sure that God has brought you here. You're sitting here in the sanctuary, or you're here with me in the fellowship hall. And if God is speaking to you and you want to say, I want to give my life to Christ, I'm going to ask you right now, wherever you're seated, I'm just going to ask you to do this, to raise your hand. You don't have to stand, just raise your hand. Raise it good and high so I can see. Raise your hand high. I see you. God bless you. I see you. God bless you. I see you. God bless you. And I see you. God bless you. And you. God bless you. And you. God bless you. And God bless you. And God bless you. Put your hands down. Let me pray for you. Lord, you've seen these precious folks that have said, I want to be sure. I want to give my life to Christ. And I ask now that you would come into their lives and give them a new beginning with Jesus. Say in your heart right now, say in your heart, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins, please. Accept me just where I am. I believe you died and rose from the dead for me. I accept the gift of eternal life. I will follow you forever.
This Bible study resource has been presented as an outreach of Calvary Community Church, a Calvary Chapel in Phoenix, Arizona. We're located just a half mile south of Thunderbird on the southbound access road of the I-17 freeway. We meet for worship Saturday evenings at 6, Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15 a.m. Our Sunday evening celebration service is at 6, and we meet midweek for Bible study Wednesday nights at 7. For more information about our ministries, we invite you to log on the internet to www.calvarypHX.com. Our phone numbers are 602-973-4768 or toll-free 888-970-3030. You can email us for more information at calvary@calvarypHX.com. at calvarypHX.com. And now it's our prayer that you continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.